Nick, kind of paint us a picture of HAARP. Describe what the array looks like, if you could.
Sure. Again, you know, thinking about, you know, a field of antennas, think about 180, 72-foot tall tree trunks of steel. And on the top of each of these is a cross, a plus sign, just laying parallel or opposite the mast. So they're sitting on top of these. So you have a field of these antenna, 180 of them, covering many, many acres of land. And then that essentially is fed radio frequency energy. And that energy is concentrated and then manipulated to literally couple with the ionosphere or magnetic field lines surrounding the Earth. And the things that we've covered so far is the idea of communication interference or enhancement. We talked a little bit about power beaming before the break. One of the other things, one of the really exotic kind of things that came out, actually came out of the Strategic Studies Institute in London from Russian research on their own ionospheric heaters, which is what the older versions of these used to be called. And the reason they called them ionospheric heaters is exactly what it says. The ionosphere, this layer that begins about 30 miles above the Earth's surface, you could literally heat it up about a 30-mile diameter area of the ionosphere and then push it out. So if you could visualize this, imagine a thick layer of energy, and then all of a sudden in the middle of it, 30 miles across, you can then push it out as far as 200 kilometers out into space. Now, what happens then is lower atmosphere immediately fills in that space. And so if you had, say, a low-orbiting space platform or a low-orbiting satellite that encountered that atmosphere as it was making its orbits around the planet at its normal velocity, it would create friction by hitting those hitting that atmosphere and would literally burn up. And then you could switch the device off and have real good plausible deniability about why that satellite went down. But think about incoming asteroids or comets. Normally, these objects, they come into our atmosphere and they burn up way before they hit the ground, and they've got about 30 miles to do it in. But imagine if you could project their trajectory coming in. If you could project out sort of where they were coming and the line, you could push the atmosphere to give them almost seven times more atmosphere to go through, causing much bigger objects to break up to much smaller objects, avoiding collision with the Earth. And the Russians looked at this as, you know, a very viable technology. And when you think about it in those terms, it would certainly work. And so that, you know, kind of an exotic application, but one that, you know, when you start to hear some of the stories, some of the things that have been talked about on coast from over the years, you know, might make an effective system for countering some of that.
Nick, worldwide, how many HAARP-type devices are there?
Well, there's well over a dozen. There are a number of transmitters in the former Soviet Union, now Russia and Ukraine. There's a Chinese facility that was constructed a few years ago in the Antarctic region. There is a system across Europe. The ISICAT system that's used in cooperation with folks here in the U.S. And then there's a system that's built across Canada that a couple of Canadian researchers have been reporting on. So, you know, there's a number of them. You know, most governments with any sophistication, you know, look at these things as experimental devices and devices that are starting to yield some pretty good results. In fact, even NATO had a paper on ionospheric heaters and the manipulation of the ionosphere for weapons application, something we dug up, you know, back in the 90s, just before we testified in the European Parliament. We were supposed to debate NATO, and NATO decided they didn't want to show up and deal with us. In fact, they denied to the Foreign Affairs Chairman that they had any interest in ionospheric modification for weapons applications. So the paper we presented to open the hearing was ionospheric modification for weapons application produced by NATO France as a non-classified document. So there's been a whole series of denials, that being one of the most dramatic, because, you know, the Foreign Affairs Chairman of the European Parliament asks NATO to show up. Generally, they do. When, you know, it's a major thing when they decline to do that. And then the U.S. declined to produce anyone to talk to the Parliament about HAARP, which we thought was pretty unfortunate.
The 1908 Siberian explosion, Tunguska, where they're theorizing that a meteorite perhaps blew up in the atmosphere and leveled the, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres. Wasn't there also that possibility that Tesla, who was very much alive during that era, might have been experimenting with some of his HAARP-like technology?
Well, actually, he was. He was in Colorado Springs at the time and doing doing work, you know, with, because he wanted to be out where he could have some energy and have some opportunity to build these massive coils and test a number of his ideas. And there was a constant light show coming from his labs from all of those early reports. And some have suggested that that's exactly what was happening. At the time, there were some polar expeditions that were going on, and some believed Tesla, being the showman that he was, that perhaps he, you know, wanted to give them a visual display that they would come back and report on, and that the Tunguska event was the result of that. You know, who really knows? You know, they never found meteor fragments, as far as I know, in all of the documentaries I've seen over the years from that event. So, mm-hmm. You know, very possibly it could have been, you know, some outgrowth of what Tesla was doing in Colorado Springs.
Remember several months ago we had this incredible story of what some said was a Russian missile launch that went out of control, spun around, and some people theorize that was that Norway light that we saw with the blue light in the middle. That looked right. Very strange to me. Richard Hoagland's theory that the missile was captured by some kind of weapon, who knows, that's a possibility. But I looked at that because isn't there a HAARP device close to that region?
Right, at Tromsø, Norway, and it's it was one that's often cited. The Germans run it in cooperation with the Norwegians through the Max Planck Institute, and in fact, from that facility at one time, years and years ago, they actually used their transmitter to get the ionosphere to vibrate to Wagner, which I guess that's a German kind of thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, they literally changed its character and got it to harmonize with the signal on the ground. And in fact, BBC TV did a special on this whole issue years ago, and you know, we were featured in along with a number of others. And Tromsø, you know, does have that capability. And when you looked at the visual events, you know, I think a lot of Richard Hoagland, he and I are good friends, and you know, we sometimes get in these interesting discussions about what could it be. But when I looked at that visual image, from my perspective, it really looked like a coherent man-made signal, not something that was just a random act of nature. And it also looked very much like some of the discussions surrounding HAARP in terms of what you could do with it. Right. And in fact, with HAARP, you know, to get visual imaging, to kind of see what it's doing, at times they've used the Poker Flats Rocket Range near Fairbanks, Alaska, which is actually a government-owned facility. Most Americans don't know that they own a rocket launch facility in Alaska. But they launched barium-laden rockets into the magnetic field lines and then fired up HAARP. And then what they saw was that corkscrewing kind of motion around those field lines, and it literally lit up because the barium gave it the ability to create an air glow that you could then track how the energy was, you know, was actually operating in conjunction with the natural forces. And so when I looked at the Tromsø images, to me, it looked like something that could have easily come from HAARP. Now, I made some inquiries, and of course, everyone that we inquired of said, no, Tromsø wasn't operating at the time. And unfortunately, once again, there's no real independent monitoring of these facilities to draw those clear conclusions. But certainly was suspicious from my perspective, and I don't buy the official count at all.